This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What's the tip?
Big boy in a fifth.
Forget it. The fifth goes off at three. We going to the track?
You're listening to Race Day at Fairmont Park on lineupmedia.fm.
And it off.
With a different story on every face.
I'm going to Hawaii! I'm going to Hawaii!
It's falling back.
I'm not going to Hawaii!
Will they make it through?
I like the two horse. It's got front wraps.
Big money on the four horse.
I like the six. That's the horse. That's it.
I always bet on five.
The number one horse.
I like the four. Number four. Four.
I like the six.
I like the four horse.
And you lay your money down when you cross the line.
Here comes the champ. I mean it. You are the champ. Believe me, you got more guts than you got sense. I love it.
Now your host, Jono Kabinjian.
Welcome back, race fans, to another great show here at FairmontParkPodcast.com. And we're having all sorts of difficulties here, but we've got an old veteran back on the show here, Mike Plasters. How the hell are you, babe?
Great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. And we got Jamie Gavilski.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, I got the last name right that time, didn't I?
Close.
Oh, damn it.
You're getting better.
All right. Well, in any case, guys, we had some racing, and we had some thunderstorms out there. Hey, you know what? This is what we were talking about the rain coming down, and now maybe we'll see an even track again. Huh?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
In any case, let's go over. Before we do all that, though, Mike, what have you been up to?
Haven't been staying kind of close to home lately. My mother-in-law's been going to the chiropractor two or three times a week, so I take her up there, and it kind of falls in the middle of the afternoon, so it kind of washes things out up here, you know.
That's good. That's good. And, Jamie, you had a horse in at Ellis, one of your horses. You drove up there early in the morning, and it all worked out, babe. It
worked out well.
Tell us a little bit about it.
We left Fairmont about 4 in the morning. After a night out with you, we were in the first race at Ellis.
I'm telling you, before that, before we get to that, I think me and him closed down the betting. I mean,
really?
I mean, I was asking her, can you please at least stay and take Australian plays?
Oh, you guys stayed that late.
Yeah, and she goes, honey, I got to go. And so we had to wrap it up.
Did you need an escort getting out of there?
No, everything was fine. There was hardly anyone there.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, but we were in the first race at Ellis. Rained all morning up to about 15 minutes before the race. Track was muddy, but we got the result we wanted. Took down first place in the money.
There you go. So. With the horse named Boohoo?
Boohoo Sue.
Boohoo Sue. See, my problem's been I don't have patience for horses if they've been on a layoff. I just say, hey, go ahead, put them away.
Yeah.
Give them away to someone.
Yeah.
Not put them away. I don't want no PETA people calling me up or emailing me saying I put the horse down. No, I meant I give the horse away.
You just stop the bleeding, in other words. What you do is just get rid of them. That way you don't have to pay the training bill or anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Okay, I go with what the trainer tells me.
Yeah.
When he says, it's gonna be a while.
What if the trainer ends up with the horse?
Yeah, that's it. That's a little awkward. And then your partners go, oh, you won by 14 lengths. Why'd you give the horse away? All right. We won't talk about that. We will talk about our racing July 14th. And like I said, we did battle a typhoon that came in there around 6 p.m. And it really shook things up. It was really sloppy. And let's see what we got here. Our first race was a 350-yard quarter horse race here, maiden special weight, 8,000. And the winner was Walkie. Walkie, and I had Walkie on top. Did you guys have Walkie there?
Yeah, I figured the horse would win. He looked like the best on paper coming from Remington Park.
I had Walkie. And what about you, Jamie? You had Walkie, didn't you?
Took a long shot that race that scratched.
So right.
Have Walkie.
Okay, I had the 3-6-4, and the 6 was Long Distance Party, and the 4, She Be Poppin'. And let's see what happened there. So we got the first part done, and yes, sir, we got the second part of the exacta as well. We went with the Long Distance Party, and that's Cachou. Was that the name?
Yeah.
Cachou?
That's the jock's name, right?
Yeah, Cachou, and that was Cachou. John. Well, you know what? They had Morning Line, though, that's not the jock that was on there.
Yeah, they had to switch jocks.
Okay, there you go.
Giles or somebody.
Yeah, Giles, exactly. All right, so we had the 3-6-2, and I had the 3-6 on that one. I had the 4, but in any case, 3-6 was the exacta, and 3 Walkie went off at 90 cents to the dollar. The 6 Long Distance Party, 1.5-1, and the 2 BM. I like BM. BM 1 Rare Rocket, and that went off at 4.5-1. All right, that's what we have for race number one here. Race number two is a 6 furlong claiming 3,200. And what we have here is the 6 horse, Lucky in Life. And you know what? I heard you talking about Lucky in Life, Jamie.
Yeah, I liked Lucky in Life in that race.
Yeah, you did like that one. Lucky in Life, Victor Santiago, and that was Victor winning on a horse that was nearly 2-1. Nearly 2-1, and that Lucky in Life was a Santiago Becker. Hmm. Those two are deadly.
Yeah,
deadly.
Pretty tough.
Yeah, but I had Lucky in Life, way down. I didn't think Lucky in Life looked good on paper for me. I had Infinitive, and Infinitive was Jamie's horse.
Right.
Jamie's horse was
a good
Infinitive.
Time for me to hustle him right now, wouldn't it?
It would
see
be.
If we get Santiago on that horse.
Yeah, definitely.
I got to ride it with Balon, but Santiago has won on that horse, I think.
Twice.
So, I mean, they're familiar with one another.
Maybe 2 weeks from Saturday, you might see Infinitive in the Winner's Circle.
I think so. And why not? Because this horse, I'll tell you what, I know it's his horse, so let me start it off by saying he had this horse back, like maybe 8-12 back.
Yeah, he was too
eight
far
to
back.
12 back. You can't make up ground like that, man.
Not on a sloppy track. If it would have been the track that we've had for the last 3.5 weeks, it would probably been sitting perfect. But
perfect.
Saturday night, you had to be looking pretty close.
And Infinitive, on that note, too, I mean, around the stretch, I'm thinking, okay, let him go. Let him do his thing. And it was kind of like halfway in the stretch, he let him go. And this horse just looked like he blasted out of there, man.
Yep.
And I'm telling you right now, that was the clear-cut horse to beat there. I love Infinitive. I had Infinitive. But Infinitive got second. And Lucky in Life. And you know what? The better stayed away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I look like a genius there. Because he went off at what? 7-1, 8-1, Jamie?
Mm-hmm. Almost 9.
Almost 9-1. Well, in any case, it was a 6-1. Lucky in Life won the race, but I guarantee you, Infinitive would have won that race. So we had a 6-1. And, you know, I should have listened to you on Lucky in Life in the back end of that. But I would have put them together on exacta. The exacta had to pay good here because one was the 6 was going off at close to 2-1, and the 1 Infinitive almost 9-1 there. So and the third place horse was Carol's Case, the 4 horse, and I knew that horse was going to be up there. I thought a lot of speed in that race. It set up well for Infinitive. All right, let's see the odds here, or let's see the payoffs, I mean. $2 exacta here, 6-1, $27.20. The $1 trifecta, 6-1-4, $31.20. The $1 daily double, 3-6, $10.30. Moving on to race number three, we've got the 6 horse here. Put him away. She's a Queenie, and it's Javier Diego. And that went off at 50 cents to the dollar, followed by the 5. Silty.
Silty.
Mm-hmm. Silty. Silty, and that was a Molina horse there, and that went off at nearly 6-1. And the 7-horse Queen's Little Red. A lot of queens in this race.
Right.
And Queen's Little Red there was Thurman, and that went off at 9-1. So any surprises here that you guys seen?
I didn't see anything. I thought the horse that won the race should have won handily. Right. And the one horse you need to watch in this race next time it comes back is the Queen's Little Red, the 7-horse. She kind of got a little bit of a tough trip, but I think maybe next time they might change a few things up, and she might be right there.
I got to tell you, man, this is the race that I had all, because they looked really, really bad on paper.
They are bad.
These were the worst-looking things I ever seen on paper, and I almost got a headache three times trying to make something happen with this. On the green sheet, you know what I put down? There's two, and then after that, it's a cliff dive.
Yeah. This is the race I think I got a call from you about, wondering what Santiago was riding, the horse he was riding.
Yeah. And you know what, Weasel? You came through at the end. You text messaged me when the race was 5 minutes over with.
That wasn't in this race.
It was this race. No, I asked you what
he wanted a hot tip on Dandy Rap later on that night.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And I text you back when I got your message, she might need one. Might not like this track.
Yeah,
what
did
she finish second?
That. I don't know. Yeah, that's the next race here. Next race, and the next race was a claiming race here, claiming 4,000, 6 furlong. And the winner of this one we had on top, and that was Lake Snow. Lake Snow, beautiful run. Beautiful run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mowed him down at the end, yep. And Lopez is just familiar with that. Lopez does that all the time. And congrats to Christy and Dan. They were, Christy was part of the show last week. And you know what?
Gave some good insight, too.
Yeah, great, great insight, man. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the 4-horse Lake Snow won it. That was Uriel Lopez, went off at 2-1. Then we had the 3-horse Dandy Rap. And that was Victor Santiago, and no help from Mike on this one when I text him. This one off at a little, what is it, 1.25?
Yeah.
Yeah, so nearly 1.5. Not even one. Just what do you call it? What odds is this, 3-5?
That'd been 6-5.
6-5 on this one? Okay, 6-5 on this one. And then the one horse here, Triscat. And that's a Molina horse there, and that went off at nearly 3.5-1, a little bit better than 3.5-1. Let's see the payoffs. I know you drilled us pretty good too, pal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The $2 exacta 4-3, $18.80. The 50-cent try 4-3-1, $9.50. The $1 daily double 6-4, $6.60. The 50-cent pick 3, 6-2/6-4, $11.80, and the 10-cent super 4-3-1-6, $4.11. All right, we're moving on to race number 5, and race number 5, we've got a 6-furlong maiden claiming 4,000, another fine gem of horses here, and the 7-horse here won the race, Crafty Prospect, and that was Molina. That went off at a little bit better than 2.5-1, followed by the 5, Thundering Richie. Thundering Richie, I like that. At 19, not really a fan of Thundering Richie because he ruined my exacta. Nearly close to 20-1. 20-1 on Thundering Richie, and I'm telling you, that's... I really was high on this horse here, Avis Parker. I thought Avis Parker was going to do much better than this, and that was a Diego horse, and that had the crowd's money as well.
Every week.
I'm sticking to my word. I will never bet the horse again.
No.
So it'll probably win next time out for everybody out there.
I don't think he will. I don't think the horse even wants to win.
Well,
doesn't look like it.
In any case, this is what I told you folks out there that I like to do. I like to play the... two favorites here. The two favorites really stuck out, the 4 and the 7. But then I've always told you folks, play 4 all 7 and 7 all 4. And sure enough, that paid off for me because I played that.
Yeah.
And that's a winner. That's the way I do it. That's my little life insurance on these horse racing. But again, You never know if 4 or 7 doesn't show up, you've lost extra.
Yeah. So, did you read the comment on the horse that finished second?
Under mine or what?
The horse that finished second that race lost whip inside the 8th pole. Got beat ahead.
Oh, wow. Mm. Lost whip, and he still kicked butt like that. You got to take note of that. That's Thundering Richie, folks. Thundering Richie. That's something that I'm glad I brought up there.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, too.
Yes. So that was a 7.54. So let's see the payoffs on this one here. The $2 exacta 7.5, $97.40. The $1 try that I hit, $141.70. The 10-cent super, 7.54.10. $49.19. The $1 daily double. Races 5, 6. Okay, now we got problems because now it says races 5, 6, 7, all. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening
right,
now.
Right.
So, you know what? I'm going to pass that up. Who the hell cares? All right? Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That was it.
That was
racing because it got canceled because there were thunderstorms that came in.
Yeah, and then we went ahead and started betting Australia.
Not yet.
No.
I was working Emerald.
Emerald Downs. Huh?
Emerald Downs. How about that? Emerald Downs. And then Jamie pointed out a track that was like $1,500 claimers. $1,500.
Thoroughbreds?
Yeah. And where was that?
Essenville.
Oh, Canada.
Canada.
Yeah. You know who rides up here?
Who's that?
Rohan Singh.
He does.
Mm-hmm. He went up there, huh?
He always went up there before. Then he come here for a couple years. Then he went back, I think, 2015 he went back. I think he was leading rider there the last 2 years.
What's the latest on our man Rafi?
Making money.
Making money. Still at Woodbine, huh?
Leading rider. Up by about 13.
Yeah.
Run out about 2.5, 2.8 million, I think, so far in the meet.
You know what? I had a little argument on Facebook.
Oh, yeah?
On the whole David Gall, Rafael Hernandez thing.
Yeah.
And I still feel Rafael makes a strong case. I mean, he's not done or by any means.
Most definitely.
He's gonna win a couple grade twos, grade one races still out there.
He will when it's all said and done. It's hard to match David's numbers as far as 7,000 wins. That won't happen with Hernandez. It probably won't happen with too many riders left.
No, I get it.
But everybody's got to remember when David was riding, they was racing 175, 200 days a year at Fairmont. And also when David was riding, when the overnight come out, he could be named on 5 or 6 horses in a race. The agent gets to look at the PPs and says, we're going to ride that one.
Yeah.
And everybody lived with it because it was Gall, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hernandez never had that luxury. And on David's side of the argument, they race for a lot better money where Rafael's at now. That's why his total career earnings is already doubled, I think, Dave's in his career.
Yeah, they didn't have money back then.
But as far as talent is concerned, you can't argue that David Gall was an all-time great.
No, but I think that Rafi was still the man.
Rafi, you know, he's 32, so he's got a strong 10 years left. It all boils down to money anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
the
all
wins.
Is.
And David should be in the Hall of Fame. I agree with I've seen some of the comments on Facebook and people jibber-jabbering back and forth. Jeff,
that's a great topic,
Jeff,
though.
Made some good points. You made some good points. Jamie's made some good points. Everybody's made good points.
I think.
But I can't say that Rafael's a better rider than David Gall. Because they raced in two different eras.
Right.
It's like saying Michael Jordan's better than LeBron James.
Right.
Which
or
I'm
Rocky
on
Marciano
side.
And Mike Tyson.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, so, what were you saying there, Jamie?
Well, what I'm going to say to Mike's point, I think in all fairness, though, if that really was a comment on that post from who was it? Who commented on the post?
I don't even want
to. Great jockey.
Oh, great jockey.
Yeah.
Pat Day.
It was Day. It was Day. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, Day's top 10 ever.
Right.
Day kind of toes the line if that was his comment. I'm not going to quote him because I don't know that it was him. But he kind of toes the line and says he never really says that he should or shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. He just says that, with all due respect, he was a great writer.
Right.
And we never questioned that.
But, you know, and I'll play Rafi's side here too. Hernandez has ridden a lot bigger races on a lot better stage than Gall. So you can't really compare Gall to Hernandez because Gall never went there.
Right.
So to me, case is closed.
Yeah. You know what? If I had a choice between Dave in his prime, Rafael in his prime, I brought up a writer on one of the comments that people never talk about that, and I was just a kid, but I know he was a real, real good writer. It was Billy Gammon. Billy Gammon was a great, great jockey, but Billy would rather be in a float parade at Wayne City, Illinois, getting Bean King than he would riding horses. I mean, it's just the way he was brought up.
Sure.
Mark Guidry, come on, man. You know, nobody ever said, is Gall better than Guidry? It was a given. Guidry was better. You know, everybody thought Guidry was the best rider that ever went through here. Throw the number of wins out. Guidry went to the next stage and went on. Rafael's not only went to the next stage. Rafael is, you know, he's considered, he's not too far from people calling him for the big stake races.
Do you think we will see him in the Breeders' Cup one of these days?
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, you will. He's too good a kid. People like him. People that know him appreciates. You know, Rafael would rather be here if we had more days and a little bit more money.
Sure. Sure.
Just like Dave made that decision. Dave made the decision, I'd rather be a big fish in a little pond than a minnow in a lake.
Mm-hmm.
And he won over 7,000 races. Sometimes money's not everything. But
right.
Rafael got the opportunity when Wesley Ward called him to go to a big stage. And when you're riding first call for Wesley Ward, which he was at first, he was winning races at Kentucky Downs as soon as he left here. And his agent in Chicago 2 months before called me and said, how can I keep putting this kid on the turf horses? He can't ride the turf. Well, evidently he wasn't putting him on the ride horses because
right.
he is a great turf rider.
Right. Yeah, I seen that when he was at Gulfstream Park too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Riding down there as well. All right, let's move on to our races for this coming Tuesday, and that is July 17, right?
Yes.
Tomorrow, yeah. Tomorrow, July 17, and we got matinee racing. How's the weather going to be, fellas?
Hot.
It's going to be another hot one?
Yeah.
All right. More liquor then. Or liquid. liquid, not liquor. All right. So, in any case, our first race here is a 6 furlong claiming 3,200. And how can you avoid this one? I took Shanghai Red. Shanghai Red, Santiago Martinez. This horse, I tell you what, man, this horse on paper looks like the one that's going to – he's always out there. He's always out there. What do you guys got?
Well, I've got him on top. Montezuma Express, you can't throw out. He will be in front. He did have a problem last time that he run. He got beat 12 lengths, finished last in a 6-horse field, but it was a legitimate excuse. The trainers gave him a few days off and got him back to par, I'm sure. John Cox runs them when they're ready. I got him for second, and for third, I went with the 4, GG Second Chance.
Okay, I went with the 3-4-1. What do you got, Jamie?
I'm with you guys. I like Shanghai Red over the 1, and I would go as far as saying that would probably be my play of the day exacta-wise.
3-4?
No, 3-1.
3-1.
Yep.
See, I went with 3-4. So there's a little bit of a controversy on this one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I went with 3-4-1. That's what I got. I think GG Second Chance here. You look at it, it's run 4,000 without it. What, you know, 4,000 against a nice fields, too. Okay, there's no two life. There's nothing like that behind the 4,000. This horse has seen some action. He's fought in the corner taverns.
Yeah.
So I kind of like this horse running second.
Well, if you look at it on paper also, you got to look at this aspect of it. Molina, I'm sure, had the choice between Montezuma Express, Jaguar Ridge, and GG Second Chance. And Cooper elected to go with Montezuma Express. He doesn't necessarily ride first call for John Cox, but he does ride a lot of them. He rides a lot for Butler, and he rides a few for Randazzo. So that tells me right there, I know Cooper knows what he's doing, so I think he's on the best horse.
Well, I don't think Cooper knows exactly what he's doing on this one, because I got a 3-4. We'll see what happens. This is what racing's all about. All right. Race number two here. Race number two. We got a 6 furlong claiming 3,200. And what do we got here? I went with the 5 on top. I went with the 5 on top, and that is Mr. Hungry. And Mr. Hungry, to me, you could just throw that last race out of there. He had problems down the stretch. He was ready to make a nice move there. He got pinched in. I got Mr. Hungry on top here at 3-1, the 5 horse.
Go ahead, Jamie.
You know what? I've been talking about this for the last couple weeks. I like the 3 horse, Mighty Gideon. I still don't think that barn is firing all cylinders like they can. I think they're gonna have a breakout second race here and win this one. The 3 Mighty Gideon with Lopez up.
I don't know how many times I went to the well with Mighty Gideon. Mike, what do you see?
Well, I went completely opposite of you guys. I went to the far outside with Name Dropper. I like this horse in this spot. He beat Mighty Gideon last time. And Jamie's right. This barn is due to break out of the slump that they're in. But I don't know if it'll be this horse or not.
You know what backed me off of that? I was looking at that. You got Arietta on this horse. And Arietta is now the modern-day David Wells of like 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
David Wells.
What was it? Not David Wells. What is it?
Lindell.
Lindell Wells was... I mean, he had a streak going like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at one point where they couldn't win a game, and that's what we got with Arietta. Arietta just cannot find the winner's circle.
Not unless he goes to Gulfstream, which he did last Saturday, and he won a race at Gulfstream.
How did he win a race at Gulfstream Park?
Last race, a week ago Saturday.
Unbelievable.
So with that being in his corner, I think Mr. Moe is on his side, and I'm going with the 7.
Okay.
And then for second, I went with Mighty Gideon, and with third, I'm going to put Mr. Hungry in there, but I don't like him at all.
Okay, so you don't like my horse in there?
No, not going short, especially.
No. I looked at this angle, though. Look, he's a Roth horse. He's a Roth horse, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They took two races in 2018, put him in two races in 2018. He's from 2016, a big layoff. So this horse has got a lot of rest, a lot of time to prove itself, and they put him in there. Now you shorten the horse up. Well, if you go back July of 16 or July 30th of 2 years ago, this horse wins on a short distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a route. The route, I think,
you think they put
set him up.
Huh? You think they put air in the horse. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I really think that he's loosened up now. He's got a lot of air left in this horse. I think the horse has got a good stretch here.
I'm going to put some air in your angle. The horse hadn't won in Illinois since Hernandez was here.
Okay. I got Santiago here. Santiago won.
December of 2016 at Hawthorne.
Okay, I got July 30th, 2016.
Yeah.
This horse
won. It's still been 2 years.
Right, but it's not Hawthorne, it's Fairmount Park.
Look 3 lines down.
1, 2, 3, okay. All right, yeah, that's Hawthorne. I'm talking about Fairmount Park.
Well, it don't matter what you're talking about. I just don't see the horse winning going short.
Well, all right, but I'm telling you, they had to loosen the horse up here.
Well, he's loose. He's loose.
All right, so that's what do we got then?
You know, your horse beating by 20 lengths. 26 lengths.
Garrison beating then. Okay. All right. All right, let's just move on.
Okay.
Let's just move on with Mr. Hungry. I think we're going to see a little bit more out of Mr. Hungry.
You should in this field.
He's what?
You should see a little more in this
field. I thought you said he's shitting in this field. All right, we're going to move on. We're going to move on here. And we're going on the race number 3. We got a claiming 4,000. And I tell you what, the odds makers got this horse at 1-1 Wildcat Light, the 1 horse here. What's your call on this, fellas?
Play of the day, the 1. $1,000 to win on it.
Okay, so you got $1,000 on the one to win.
Edging, you know, people are going to argue edging's probably going to be there, but edging the last race back through just a dud out there. This Wildcat Light always seems to hit the money.
Yeah, he's a hard trier.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, that's all you can really ask for in this game is a horse that gives an honest effort every time out.
Yeah.
I don't see the one getting beat this race.
Well, who do you have it then with? Because that's where the exacta plays. I mean, this horse is going to go off at 3-5. I'm not going to make money on its
head.
You're
going to make money on it. How are you not going to make money on it?
Well, I can't bet him flat. I mean, I'm not going to get any. I'm not going to risk my $50 to win back $30.
That's why it's gambling.
Yeah, but I like to mix it up.
I hear you. I got
a long ball coming second.
You got a long ball. I kind of like the two a little bit. Metalisa Fleet, but I have a tough time betting Arietta again. But Mike brought up he just won at Gulfstream, so I mean, he's not
all sure that wasn't his brother.
It was his brother's horse. He flew down there to ride the horse.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right, what do you got here, Mike?
I went on top with one, of course. We could have rode edging Highway 54. And, of course, I ride first call for Scotty regardless, but I still think he's the best horse. And what I've liked about this horse is last two starts, he's had the Bug Boy on Hernandez. And he really doesn't have to have the lead. But I'm sure Santiago will jump him out there and get a good position. Looks like he can stalk right behind edging. And anybody knows edging and how to beat him would be Santiago because he rode him twice and win twice. But I like the one on top of the five, Highway 54 with Lopez. I like that rider change, too.
You got my horse there.
And then I went with the four edging for third.
Bravo, because that's what I got. I got a 1-5-4. I think you're still going to get back on this one, maybe $11 payoff on your exacta, because I think Highway 54 is the nice, solid second-place horse. And for my third place, I got edging here with Melina Martinez at 2-1.
The thing that kind of throws me off about this race, and I looked at the morning line, and I thought it was just an absolute horrendous line. Sorry, Bobby, but I can't see Georgie, my boy, being 30-1.
Well, I'll tell you why.
I don't understand that.
I looked into that. He scratched. He was ineligible. So the odds makers.
Thank goodness. I thought my man was losing his mind.
Nope, because I called the odds maker on that, and I asked him, how the hell can you make this 30-1? He goes, he was ineligible to run in that race, so he scratched.
Yeah. Sounds like somebody needs to get better in the condition book.
Yeah, well, his last race throws him out of there.
Yep.
So that's why he's 30-1, because I looked into that, Mike.
I didn't know what the heck.
Because I looked at Georgie and I go, what the hell's happening here? I sounded like Vince Lombardi. What the hell's going on around here? And sure enough, he told me. I go, okay, thanks.
Yep, there you go.
All right, so that's what we have for race number. What race was that?
Number three.
All right, race number four, we got a 6 furlong allowance optional claiming $5,000. And, hey, you know what? We're looking at a good, productive day for you here, sir.
Yes. Yeah, on paper.
You're looking very live. And I'm going with the one horse here, Internet Success, Santiago Martinez. I like this horse. He looks like a type of horse. Well, you guys want to throw it in there? I'm looking at the charts here.
Yeah, he looks to me like he's the best in the race. And he's what I like about him, he's a little versatile. He didn't have to have the front. He can stalk. He can come from out of it. I know the last race he ran, I was watching it from my phone, and at the 5/16 pole, it was a matter of how far he should win by. But he did hang a little bit at the end, and then I got looking at the numbers, and Matthews Thunder was in front, and he just ran a hell of a race. He never backed up a step, and Internet Success just couldn't get by him. But I went with him on top, and I've got the 5 horse to run second, but I don't know. I think I'm going to change that after looking at that. I like Butler's horse pretty good, that Hyde to Green. I think he should be second along with the 5 Deep in a Dream. And I'll go as far as fourth place finishes, Affirmative Song.
Okay. What do you got there, Jamie?
Yeah, I like the one internet success. I think is that the horse Ralphie claimed from Cox?
Yeah.
Yeah, that horse coming over from Oaklawn. I do like the two a little bit, Hide the Green. I think last race out, Hide the Green was beat by the Peacock Man, which we had that, Jono, if you remember.
Right.
Peacock Man was due to strike there. But Hide the Green's a pretty good horse. I just think internet success is the horse this race, followed by the Five Deep in a Dream, Durham's horse.
I went with Class here. I went with the one horse on top. And the one horse, look at how many times it's been dropped on the claiming box there at Oaklawn Park. Those people know what they're claiming over there. And it's been claimed twice down there. It went up to Fairmount Park. It's been claimed there. I think everyone knows by now that this horse is a clean horse here. And this horse is going to be up there. The one horse will be there. I went with the four horse. I looked at Class, and this is much classier a horse than the two horse, Hide the Green. Because you're looking at on Hide the Green, June 2nd, 2018, he ran an allowance optional claimer, 10,000 two lifer. That's really important with me. That two lifer is a restricted race again for two lifers. And then at Arlington Park, he goes in with another one, a two life claiming tag. Okay, so my point is, I'm looking at a horse right now, the four horse. You're looking at a starter at Hawthorne running third. That gets a little bit of love from me, and that was this year. You're looking at a horse again, allowance 26,400. Barely lost that one.
You're right.
I mean,
you're right. You're 100% right.
I'm definitely saying my exacta here. I'm taking Class. I'm taking a hard nose horse. That's the one horse that's been in starter company, and I'm gonna follow it up by the four horse here. Same portfolio at Hawthorne. A starter. Those are basically $16,000 horses. $16,000 to $20,000.
Yeah.
So that's the way I'm going on this one. I'm going 1-4, and then the two will have his day by running third. I don't think it's in the same field with these two.
You're probably right.
So have I changed your mind, maybe?
No.
No, okay. All right, great. Now, you won't say it on the air here, but you'll say it after the show. You'll probably tell me that was a great play.
No, only thing I'm relating this affirmative song horse, I know we went out to ride him at Oklahoma last time he run.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tough trip in the race. Track was terrible. And it's back in a little over 2 weeks, but it was a good 7-hour trip there and back. I'm going to see him run one more time before I would bet on him.
All right. Okay. So I got a 1-4 here. This could be my exacta box play of the day. Yes.
What about the other day? Who'd you all pick on? I don't remember. I listened to the show, but Durham had a filly in that was picked to win. Can't remember her name.
I can't either.
But I was just kind of curious how you picked that race, because she was the other horse that made the trip and came back and ran completely flat. You know, people throw that out the window sometimes. When it's 14 hours round trip, it does take something out of them.
Sure,
Jamie, you'll know that.
Yeah,
it does. Even going to Ellis Park and back in the heat, and it was 101 degrees out there in Oklahoma, and mm-hmm. It does.
I don't know what it is about Ellis Park, but it seems like it's 20 degrees hotter there than it is in
It doesn't seem
Fairmont.
Like it. It is.
Yeah.
It's just downright
right there on
that river. I mean, it's
only
2.5-hour
ride, but it's like right on that river, and it's kind of in a bowl.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, this next race here, we've got a maiden race. We've got a maiden special weight, 6 furlong. And this is, I'll tell you what, this is interesting because I was with Mike kicking back in his truck watching these horses work out. And I like the way this three horse, and your man's on this horse. Santiago's on this horse, and he's going off at 10-1. That's Cousin Dario. I know I'm taking a big shot here. First time Lasix, I think Lauren Steen gets on the map here with this horse. I know she doesn't have too many horses, but this one right here, I think this newcomer. All right, the works, okay, they haven't been bad.
Right.
But just the way this horse was just moving, Morning Works, I like this one. And you know what? It's an open race. Anyone sure. can win this race. I'm taking this 10-1 morning line, first timer. That's who I got on top. I got the 3-9, the 9 horse, the favorite, Diamond Maximus. One start, not too shabby, not too shabby. Lost by a nose, and then the 10 horse here. I got Droops MDB, and that's a late closer. We'll be mowing down the pack there. So I go with 3-9-10 is what I'm going with here. Money to be made.
You know, I like the 9. I bet the 9. The its first time out a couple weeks back. Look like the horse. I'm not looking at a chart right now, but I'm pretty sure I remember this race. The horse was on the lead most of the race, backed up a little bit, and then
came right back.
Lopez reengaged, and he got beat at the wire. Then I'll throw a question out there for Mike, and this is probably something you can answer for me. The 8 horse, Line of Denims.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Hammond horse. Mm-hmm. Now Lopez usually rides all the time first call for Jerry.
Right.
Do you have any insight into as to why he's riding Diamond Maximus other than he rode him his first time out and they've put the bug Roman Hernandez on?
Yeah, I can tell you exactly why. Kevin Wilborn has used Lopez as well for a long time.
Okay.
And Jerry's pretty lenient about letting his rider ride a horse that he feels that's more alive than the one he's got.
I got you.
Jerry's real easy to work with when it comes to jocks. As long as he's comfortable with the one he gets, he's fine with it. And if you notice, the last time the horse run, before Hernandez rode it, Santiago rode it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I handle both of them. So, and my wife's the assistant.
Yeah, I know that.
So
yeah. That's why I'm asking you the question. You're the
a lot of times, Jerry, if he can't get Lopez, if I've got somebody open, he's more than happy to use somebody I've got.
Gotcha.
So. Horses had problems at the start, too. Both races.
Yeah.
The 8 horse, just can't get out of the gate clean.
I've got a star next to that horse's name for a reason, mm-hmm. and that's why. I think the horse could be there if it gets out of the gate.
So you got a 9, yeah. 8. What else?
We're not talking about we're talking about a horse that's making its third start.
Right.
So I mean, gate trouble is expected for these young horses.
Right. And this horse here was one of the late ones that come in too. He was broke as a 2-year-old. And when he came in late this year, he wasn't gate approved or anything like that. So he's kind of behind the curb here a little bit. But I think the horse will run a decent race. I just don't know if he's got enough out of the first two to, you know, compete for the win. But I think he will break his maiden.
So what do you got there? You got a 9-8? What else?
I'm going to play a 9-8-3 just because you guys know a little bit about this 3. And I'm going to... You know, I'm going to play a try box there and hope that the 3 or the 8 come on top. To be honest with you,
yeah,
for our sake. But yeah, I'm gonna go with your expertise on the 3. You guys know a little bit about the 3, but I do like the 9. Thought the 9 shows the promise.
Well, the 9's definitely showing respect. I mean, he's saying to you, what else I got to do? I lost my neck. We were maiden. What do you got here, Mike?
I went with the 3, the first time starter. I've watched him work as well, and
we seen him together that one time.
Yeah, he's going to have to show me that he can't run before I get off of him because I know he can work good. You throw times out the window. You look at a horse's times, and I know when Santiago works horses, you can look at all the works on Becker's horses. Very seldom you see a 1 out of 13 or 1 out of 20. He works horses slow, and first time starters especially. But he knows what he's got underneath him. And I went with a 9-2. I remember that race like Jamie referred to. That was the last race on a Saturday night when the Illinois money was at its end, and they bumped this purse up to 27,000 and change, and I know Santiago was on the winner. He rode that horse for Wainwright, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And he was all out to hold off this horse, and I know this horse can run the 9.
Okay.
And then for third, I went with the 6 horse, Agro Crag.
Let me ask you this, too. What's the inside scoop on our a trainer here on the three, Steen. Is she coming from somewhere else, or did she train somewhere else?
I don't know her.
You don't know her? Okay.
No.
All right.
I know the guy that's in charge of the barn. Tony's his name. He's been a valet at Hawthorne for years. Always had a few horses of his own. You know, and another trainer up in Chicago. I know he's a good horseman, and he's brought this horse around right.
Mike, let me ask you another question here. If I have a first-time starter, as an owner, like Jamie and I would want to see this horse work with, like, three, four other horses.
He has.
Is that common? Because I don't normally see that. I always see horses just coming out by themselves, or possibly having one stablemate on the outside or inside to them. Why wouldn't you put more horses just so the horse gets the real feel of a pack that's throwing some dirt on you and all
right.
that?
A lot of the pack and the dirt getting through in their face, a lot of that goes through in the mornings just galloping. They'll gallop and set, especially your bigger barns like Hernandez. Hammond, Essen Price. Essen Price is one of the best at it. I mean, he takes his young horses out there. And Eddie Essen Price, I mean, when he breaks his horses, they're broke. You don't ever see an Essen Price horse hardly ever doing anything crazy in the gate, post parade, or anything like paddock. They're broke. And they'll gallop in sets. They'll switch positions. And barns like Manly and Becker, when they've got the young horses that never run before, they'll team up with each other and go to the gate first after break, second after break. They've got times, and each barn might take two or three over there at a time and break them out of the gate and work them in sets together.
Can the public go out and see this?
Sure.
But
they won't know what they're looking at because they don't announce anything that's, you know, being worked. You'd have to sit down there with the trainers, where the trainers sit, and, you know, hey, you working anything today? And care if I watch your horse work or something like that. Ralph Martinez is there every morning. All the trainers are there. You could just, you know, learn something that way. What would be nice if all racetracks, not just Fairmont Park, but like Santa Anita has the they give out coffee and donuts in the morning on the apron, and you can rub elbows with the trainers, and you know what they're doing. You ask them questions and stuff. You know, educate the betting public a little bit more. If they're willing to learn, you know, it'd be a great thing.
Right.
Now, some of the conversations might get a little raunchy, but
you bring up a couple of really good points to Mike's point about Essen Price. I think, you know, I'm a novice compared to Mike when it comes to this stuff, but I think it speaks volumes of and you're seeing in Essen Price's young horses. Halo Hunter's the one horse that comes to mind, but when a guy is the trainer of these horses and the breeder, and he breaks all his own horses, there's something to be said for a guy that gets up on all his own horses and knows that horse versus maybe getting second or third hand information from somebody else. And to your point about you know, the California tracks in the morning, I think a lot of times you're going to see a lot of the professional handicappers out there in the mornings watching those horses work.
Yes.
That's the majority of the people that are out there with the Baffords and the
those are the rail birds.
The Amatos and all those guys. So
And going back
cool
to
stuff,
Eddie,
really.
Oh yeah, and going back to Eddie, you know, not all of them, most of them though, when they get done training here in the mornings at 11 o'clock or 11:30, whenever it is, they go home and call the owners, or the owners call them. They talk about their horses. Eddie goes home and breaks horses, him and his wife, and they've got a crew at the farm. Eddie's
still shooting free throws.
It's a legitimate business.
Basketball practice
is
over.
And he's on a horse from daylight to dark.
Wow.
He puts the time in.
Well, it's paying off. This year he's really hit the map, and some big-time races too here.
Yes.
Race number six, we got an allowance optional claiming $10,000. And, Jesus Christ, what am I supposed to say here? It's going to be hard bringing down this WW Cookie Monster. Ran in that $50,000, got second. But I'm telling you right now, this horse is going to be live here, and that's a Victor Santiago Becker horse, the one horse here. I got the one on top followed by the 4, sunny storm. And once again, I don't know. I just think that this horse right here is going to make a nice – I mean, 3 starts it's had. It's broke bad 3 times. I think if they get this horse out at all and have him right there, 3-4 off, I think you're going to see a major improvement because before this last race here, he made a nice move. And the race before that, he came back and he was sitting in the 3rd spot and made a nice move and won the race by 1 1/4. So I got the 1-4, and I've got the 7 here. Desjure's Best, and Desjure's Best to me. Well, I don't understand this, Mike. I don't see this horse being a 8-1 horse. I really don't. I think this horse is going to be live here. You tell me.
Well, I'm going to go with the inside horse as well. We have not seen how good this horse is yet. And I'm going to tell you why.
Well, he's got a little smile on his face, too, when he just said that, folks.
From the get-go, when Santiago started breezing this horse, he come back to me the first time he breezed him, and he said, you know what? He said, this is one of the best horses I've been on for Scotty, and that's including Gone Ghost. And when Gone Ghost worked the first time, he told me he was going to be a stake horse. And, you know, the kid knows what he's got underneath him. If you look at this horse, slop, slop, slop. He does not like the slop. When he works, he's
and he
three
doesn't
times.
Like the slop.
No,
and hey, folks, he's showing a second, a 1/5, and a 2/nose. And Mike just says that he doesn't like the slop.
He does not like the slop. He's not half the horse in the slop as he is on a dry racetrack. And I know that because every work you see is on a dry racetrack.
How many did he spot the field that first time out?
It says 12. It was more like
it was
18,
more like 18
20.
Or 20.
Yeah.
And I've been
and there again,
horse.
Halo Hunter. I'm not taking anything away from Halo Hunter.
No.
Not one thing. But if, of course, if a bullfrog had wings, he wouldn't bump his butt. But if this horse wouldn't have got left the way he did, he would have won that race for fun.
Sure.
Okay. And then he come back and he did win very easily, broke his maiden. Then he come back against Halo Hunter in the stake. And that day it was follow the leader. Whoever was in front won. It was the stake day. Every horse went on the front end. Nobody had any speed in the stake. Halo
right.
Hunter went to the front, got and Molina did a hell of a job. I mean, he went to the middle of the racetrack where he should have been because the track was the fastest there, and this horse just couldn't run him down. He just couldn't run him down.
I remember that day. I was standing under the tent that day.
Right.
We had the Larry Rice tent there.
Larry Rice tent.
But I walked over to make my bet, and I put a substantial bet down on the Cookie Monster. And when they came out of the gate, I remember looking at Debbie McComas and saying, you got to give all the credit in the world right now to Essen Price and Molina taking the horse out to the middle of the track on the lead.
Yep.
They're not
going
to catch him. I don't care if Man of War's behind him. They're not catching the horse on this track.
Nope.
But from day one, I've been on this Cookie Monster, and I mean, you walk over to the paddock and you look at this horse in the paddock, and you go, "No way, this horse is a 3-year-old. He is a monster.
He is."
I mean, you're exactly right. I don't think we've seen the best out of that horse yet.
No.
Jono, you've seen this horse.
Well, I'm sure. But my thing is on this horse. What are we going to get on this horse? 3-5, 4-5.
If
tell me
lucky.
What you got on this one, Jamie.
What,
help this horse out here. Energize this horse by a second place here. Who's the second place runner that's going to make a nice exacta? I didn't hear it from you either, Mike.
I'm going to go with a 3.
I like the 3. I like the 3, Dancing Position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the biggest on the well-positioned horses, but I do like this horse a little bit. Looks like your other guy's up on this horse too, Balon.
Mm-hmm.
And to Balon's credit, Balon's riding through the bridle. That kid's got a little gusto in him. I like him a little bit.
Yes. Yes, he does.
But, John, you got Sturt's name there. You got Becker's name. You got Santiago. So the 1's going to be way down. And on top, the 1's a gray roan horse. So the people see that and they want to bet it. You're not going to – I don't think this is a great betting race for an exacta or even a try.
Well,
I think this is a race. If the track's good, this 1 could win by 20. How about that?
Yeah.
So you guys didn't show any love for my 4?
No. No, I like the six a little bit. I thought his last, not his last two, but his last race and the other race in the mud. There again, there goes a horse that absolutely does not like the slop. And if you look back, he was beat by Electric
Cat. You're looking at a state bred restriction. The last one, two, three, four, last five, he's been on state bred restriction races here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm kind of buying what you're saying, but I'll bet the one in open company any day too if the track's good.
Yeah.
No, we've established the one. I'm trying to get the second place.
I think what I'm trying to say is I like the one a little bit.
Okay. So what we're trying to say here to panel, maybe play the one in your maybe go with the all on the next race or whatever, but on your pick fours or pick threes, this is definitely the single horse. And I got it. I get that. All right. So we're moving on to race number seven here. Race number seven, we got a mile 70. Only route of the day, isn't it? That's the only route race?
Yeah.
Okay. Mile 70, claiming 4,000. And what do we have? I went with the, you know, what is it, a Santiago bobble day?
I don't know. It kind of looks
like Tuesday?
It.
On Tuesday? Because you set your jockey up really well, my friend. I mean, he's sitting good on everything. And that's kind of
unusual.
The public's not going to buy. Yeah, it's unusual.
I think Mike's buying after the card tomorrow.
Well, he won't even be there. He'll probably watch from home. Okay, so what we got here is race seven, and we got a 1 mile, 70 yards, claiming 4,000. And I got Duchess Lala. Duchess Lala plays a role here. I got the 8, 10, 3. Let's see what we got here. I got an 8, 10, 3. And you know what? I always pick this Duchess Lala. She's let me down a couple times, but I'm telling you, I think this horse wins this time. Duchess Lala at 3-1. And like I said, though, what do I got here for second? Second and third. 10 and 3. All right. 10 is the Marnate.
Right.
And the 3 horse here is the, wow, she's back again, and that's another big shot here at 10-1. So that I'm looking at long ball here.
Yeah, you are, but I got to agree with your first place runner, Duchess Lala. I got her on top of the 7, and for third, I went with Street Smarty, Trainer Johnson, and jockey Gabriel Ratana.
Yeah, okay. You like those experienced jockeys, huh? All right. What do you got here, Jamie?
I got the Duchess Lala on top. I know we've touted this horse 2 or 3 times and has kind of let us down a little bit.
Right.
I like the 7 a little bit, Fridley's horse. Got to go back. And then the rest of it, I don't know. I'd probably play an all on the third leg of a try there. Or reverse it like you like to do, play an 8, all 7. And hope one of those long balls comes in, because this is the kind of race that could happen.
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea right there.
This is the kind of race that could happen.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the horses here that seem to want to go to the front, and because I don't see a lot of horses that are going to be reeling anyone in here. So I went with Duchess, and then I went with the 10 horse here, Marnate, because Marnate likes to go out there too, and Marnate usually battles up front. So if these two or 3 horses that I got, on all 3 of them are front runners, it's going to be hard to catch them down. I think Duchess pulls away a little bit, and I don't see horses coming back from the backside. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, that's probably right. It's probably, I'd say we're having the 8-hole, Santiago a break. I'm not saying he's going to go right to the front, but he'll probably be forwardly placed. And if he gets in front with her before they get to the half,
what's the standings looking like? I mean, your jockey's right up there, isn't he?
Malina is up by 1 or 2, I think.
Jockey's right now. We got Malina, 124 starts, 39 wins. So, and Victor Santiago, 124 starts, 37 wins. These two are going back and forth here, my friends.
Yeah.
And
what do the trainer standings look like?
Trainer,
it's closer, I think.
Well, here it is. Here it is, lads. Mike Durham, 69 starts, 14 wins.
Becker's 115. They're going by money, maybe.
And Becker's 47 starts with 14 wins.
14?
Yeah. That's what it says here on paper. So
it's S&P so interesting. S&P price has got to be right there.
S&P price is next with 52 starts. Well, I guess they're all with 14 starts here, or 14 wins, I mean. 52 starts for S&P price with 14 wins as well.
Who do you think will win?
Well, you're throwing a lot of ammunition out this tomorrow, though. I think Becker's got some live ammo being thrown around. I'll tell you that. I think
I'd say he probably got more than what it would take.
Yeah.
See, he's setting on, you know, people don't understand this, but you know, he'll enter a horse at Arlington, and the race don't go. He'll enter the next day at Fairmont Park. It's, you know, he's got so many horses, but you look at his win percentage, and it's, I don't know how, I'd say Essen price is probably comparable, but Durham's, I'm sure, is quite a bit lower.
I think Scotty's win percentage is close to 33, isn't it? He's only started 40-something horses. I think he's won 14 times.
He's at 33% win clip.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And Eddie Essen price at 29% win clip.
Yeah.
Then you got Durham. Durham just, he'll attack the Alamo there with everything. He's got 23%.
That's still really, really good.
Really good. There's no question about it. And the top horse right now with 5 starts with 4 wins, and that's Halo Hunter. And the thing with Halo Hunter, the average win payoff on this one is nearly 14.
Yeah. He don't get a lot of respect. Well, 2 out of the 3 times he's run against
Cookie Monster.
And I would say Cookie Monster might have been the favorite in both of them times.
Wow. Wow.
I want to say that stakes race, I want to say it was Cookie Monster. Was it Galeb's winner, maybe?
Yeah.
Was Galeb's winner in?
Yeah.
That was the second choice. And then Halo Hunter might have even been the fourth choice.
I think
choice.
He was the longest
he shot was.
On the board.
Well, obviously, he hasn't drawn any respect yet.
And the other time that he run, if you look on Halo Hunter, I think Shanghai Red, he outrun Shanghai Red one time, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe he did.
No. What race is he in?
Who?
He's not in, he,
no.
He's not even in it. Yeah, I can't look him up. Or Shanghai. I can look
Shanghai
up Shanghai.
In the first race.
Let's All right, let me see. Check that out real quick.
It's 2 races back. Halo Hunter won by a length and a quarter. Length and a half.
Okay.
And I know Shanghai Red was a favorite that day. He was 60 cents on the dollar. So Halo Hunter.
And
I
Shanghai
don't,
Red's in for 32?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. But you take a horse that's won 15 races in his life, or however many he's won, 16, and put him against a young 3-year-old.
Sure.
The older horse is always going to be the favorite.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. We had a great show today. Great show, and check out YoRadio.com. YoRadio.com has all the music. Have you guys downloaded that yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you guys enjoying that?
Yeah,
that's great. Good stuff, I'll tell you, because you guys are always in your trucks going from one track to another, and why not? Turn on the something free out there, and it's called YoRadio.com. Any type of music you want, we have it at Lineup Media. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love for you to come on every time. Jamie, once again, you know what? You're becoming a norm, too, here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate
it. Oh, of course. Anytime, guys. Thank you, guys, for listening into our show. And keep cashing those winning tickets. And we will see you this Thursday.
Tune in next week for another episode of Race Day at Fairmount Park on the lineupmedia.fm network. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or through our website, FairmountParkPodcast.com, and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter.
There's a perfect time when you're tempted.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.